All right. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." This is the word of God.
This morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful to be here today. I mean, what a great day. And we just ask, oh God, that in this next few minutes, you just help us to open up our hearts and our minds to your word. And I ask, oh God, that the words you've given me to speak today, Lord, that they will fall where you need them to fall and do the work that you desire them to do. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my father-in-law, he started a tradition many, many years ago at his first daughter's wedding. And I don't know if he ever really regretted starting this tradition, but if he did, he never let on that he did. But it was this: at his first daughter's wedding, he kind of just got so carried away with joy and excitement and exuberance that he went out onto the dance floor solo and just started doing this crazy dance. It was sort of like a pogo dance, you know, sort of like just straight up and down with a straight leg kind of thing and twirling around. And it was joyful enough and I guess charming enough that the people sort of just stood back and just kept applauding him and kind of egging him on. And he did this crazy, crazy dance. It just came out of his joy. And then later on that night, he found the nearest body of water, which happened to be a pool. And he jumped in the pool with his tuxedo on. Yeah, again, as an expression of this great joy he had. Well, of course, after that, at every wedding, this was kind of an expected thing. And since he had 6 kids, I mean, you know, that's a lot of shrunken tuxedos. But what that kind of demonstrated and made me think of was just how exuberance and how joy and how that unbridled feeling of just, yeah, this is the best thing ever, you know, that feeling can make us go beyond the bounds of what might be considered proper, what might be considered decorous, to help us go beyond the bounds of decorum, to celebrate without limits, and even to love without limits. And in so many ways, that's kind of what's going on in the story that we heard today. And maybe it's what this Pharisee learned when Jesus came over for dinner. Now, the story goes that this man, this Pharisee, invited Jesus over for dinner. Now, the Pharisees, you remember, they were those religious leaders who were becoming very interested in Jesus because of the following that was gathering around him and the rumor that he might be, people thought that he might be the Messiah, the king who was going to come and free Israel from Roman occupation and bring back that glory of their former kingdom. So they were super excited about Jesus. But people weren't so sure. Some Pharisees were like, I don't know, maybe. Others were like, there's no way that Jesus could be that Messiah. So they would test him all the time. And they would try to, you know, talk with him and figure it out. Well, this Pharisee named Simon invited Jesus over for a dinner to do just that. But this dinner was not like a one-on-one kind of deal that we might have if we wanted to get to know somebody. This dinner was more like a salon. It's the kind of situation where you invite intellectuals and philosophers to come. And they would share a meal in a setting that was decorous and full of order and propriety. And they would trade ideas. And these events were so popular and considered so important that oftentimes the host would hold them in his courtyard outside his house, so that people from the community could actually come in. They weren't allowed to speak, but they could sit alongside the walls of that courtyard and listen and learn. Well, on this night, the people who came got an earful and an eyeful, because as soon as Jesus and his other guests, laid down around the mat upon which this dinner was spread, as soon as Jesus laid down, put his, self up on his elbow and stretched his feet behind him, a woman crept out from the shadows around that courtyard, and she proceeded to tear down and tear through all sense of propriety and decorum. She went straight for Jesus, knelt down at his feet, and began to cry. And she began to weep so copiously and just so fully and just with her whole body that Jesus' feet became wet with tears. And then she took out an alabaster jar of lotion, and she opened it up and she poured the whole thing out. And I mean, this was expensive stuff in these days. It was like gold. And she pours it on his feet. And then, just to rip through any bounds of decorum, just to tear through any sense of propriety, she pulled down her hair. She let her hair down. Something that women never did unless they were in the privacy of their own bedroom with their husband. She lets her hair down. And then she begins to wipe Jesus' feet with her hair. And then she begins to kiss his feet. Oh! Now this Pharisee, he's watching this and he is just like beside himself. He's apoplectic with what is going on here. I mean, come on. This is like, he's like in some sort of, another dimension. It's like, hello, where am I, right? It's like he's in some sort of Pharisee twilight zone. He can't believe what he's seeing. But then it gets even worse for him. Because in the light around that table, everyone could see that this woman was infamous. She was known around town for being a sinner. She was known for being a prostitute. And there she was, dropped in the middle of this home where order and law and propriety and decorum are number one. And she's just ripping it apart. But to the Pharisee's mind, as inconceivable as her actions are, as outrageous as her actions are, Jesus' response is even worse. Jesus' response goes even further beyond what would be expected, further beyond propriety and decorum. Because for a man to let a woman who is degraded, as they would have thought her and seen her, degraded, defiled, to let a woman like that touch him is to let himself be also defiled. And that's all that this Pharisee needs to know about Jesus, right there. If he had any doubt that maybe he was a prophet or maybe the Messiah or maybe a king, maybe just like a good guy, all of that is erased. All he needs to know about Jesus is what he sees. And he thinks to himself, if this man were a prophet, if this man were really a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is, a sinful woman. I would never let her touch him. All he needs to know about Jesus comes in his reaction to the woman. But here's the beautiful thing, and here's the great thing, and here's the good news for you and for me and for everyone. Jesus' actions, his reaction to what this woman is doing, is everything she needs to know about Jesus too. It's everything that she needs to know. Because as Jesus stays there where he is and accepts her offering of her tears and her lotion and her kisses, he confirms for her what he must have already told her, what he must have already let her know. That regardless of her past, regardless of where she's been, regardless of who she is or who she thinks she needs to be, the script that she's been playing all her life, regardless of all of that, she's forgiven. She's cleansed. She is worthy to approach God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I mean, come on. Don't we love that? Don't we love to hear that? Don't we need to hear that? She didn't come into this place. She didn't come into that place looking for Jesus, crying with a burden of sin anymore. She didn't come in filled with shame. She came in with that burden lifted by Jesus. She came in filled with the sunshine of repentance and forgiveness. She didn't care, not a lick, about going beyond decorum in some Pharisee's house because Jesus had already gone way beyond decorum, way beyond it, just by seeking her out, seeing who she really was, and offering her forgiveness and love without limits. And it changes who she is. And she comes in there seeking Jesus with this joy that is inexpressible at her freedom. And I mean, come on, come on. It's a good lesson for you and for me when we think about how it is that Jesus has forgiven us. When we think about all that we have had in our sin and in our background that Jesus has just taken away, right? And how he wants us, in our joy of knowing that forgiveness, to spread that joy to others with a love that is unlimited, that goes on without limits. Right? That's what he wants us to know and to tell others. And it's a big deal. You know, if in ancient times, let's say we were in ancient times, if you said to someone in ancient times, yeah, I've got this God, I've got this awesome God, you know, and he came to earth and he hung around like a homeless and vagrant man, and he went up to people who were broken and feeling terrible about themselves and full of sin and full of shame, and he forgave them and lifted them up and took away their sin, you know what they would say? That's not what a God does. A God doesn't do that. A God doesn't condescend to people. A God is powerful. A God is regal. A God is capricious. If anything, people are afraid of their gods. But that's not our God. Our God isn't that. Our God did come. And he said to us, he said to that woman, he said to everyone that he came in contact with in one way or another, he said, you take your sin, you take it, you gather it up, you look at it, you recognize it, sure, you embrace it, but then, hello, you give it to me, Jesus said. You give it to me, Jesus said. And I'm going to put it on my shoulders, Jesus said. And I'm going to take it up to the cross, Jesus said. And then I'm going to take it down into the tomb, Jesus said. And I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to bury it there. And then I'm going to rise again. And you are going to rise up with me. And we are going to be free. That's what he says. That's what he says. Is that right? Am I wrong about that? Come on now. Who am I talking to today? Hello. 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 Right? That's what he says to us. And then he says, now you take that. You take that joy. And you go give it. You go give that joy to another. A little bit of forgiveness. A little bit of love without limits. You know, I keep the door open here on during the week. Most of you know that. And there are really good reasons not to do that. There are really, really good reasons not to do that. Some of them linked to the way that our culture today, is just kind of going over the line of propriety and decorum, right? I mean, there are people out there who don't like churches. They don't like religion. They may not even like pastors. I don't know. And some of them may even be tempted to act upon those feelings. That's the kind of environment we live in today. But listen, I sit here in my office. My door is open. I can see that door. I can see who comes in. So I don't know how I can sit here and not keep that front door open, right? Even when it presses the boundaries of decorum. One time a homeless man came in. He's come several times. And as I always do, I went back, you know, helped him make a bag full of food from the food back there. You know, we prayed together and all that. And then I just let him sit and rest in the coolness of the sanctuary. Went back to my office. About 10 minutes later, I came back out to check on him. And he was sitting in that very, very back pew, right? And he's eating peanut butter out of a jar with his hands, right? And you know the first thing that went through my mind? Yeah, I'm going to confess to you. You know what the first thing that went through my mind? Huh? Yeah, get him a spoon. That was the second thing. The first thing was, oh, I hope he doesn't get that on the cushions. Right? That's what we think. And then I thought the spoon. Yeah, thank you. And then I got him a paper towel, and then I asked him to eat in the narthex. Okay, cool with everybody? But my third thing I thought was, you know, gosh, come on. Cushions can be washed. But could we ever really, as a church, wash away the stain? If we didn't offer some of God's children who are lost and lonely a place to sit for a few minutes and a little bit to eat, could we wash that away? I don't think so. Another time a guy came in, he was like hopped up on methamphetamines. He said he was. He'd been up for 5 days, he said, and he was just about ready to crash. But he said that he had left a really touchy and dangerous situation in North Hollywood, and he did it by stealing a bike. It was the bike he was on. Yeah. But he said he went by the church, and he saw the church doors open, and something just grabbed him. He said, ah, I couldn't go by the church. He just had this pang of conscience about stealing this bike. So he came in, and he said, please, please, take this bike from me. Find its way back to its people. And I just want to, I know if I keep this bike, bad things are going to happen. I just want to move on. So we did. We took the bike, you know, we called the police, we got the bike back where it went. But the most important thing was that door open, just that door open, just going beyond a little bit of decorum, a lot beyond propriety, made a difference. It kind of just shifted his heart just in that little bit. And who knows what happened next. Last week, a young man came in, 24 years old. Oh, 24. He said that he'd been in a Christian rehab place, you know, trying to kick his drug habit. But that he'd left and he'd had a relapse. He'd been on the street for 2 days. He said he saw the church door open, and he said he didn't think that that was an accident, that that door was open. He took it as a sign, so he came in. And we prayed, and he told me that the thing that was holding him back, the thing that he couldn't get over, was his shame. His shame. That so many people had tried to help him, but he'd thrown that away. You know what he needed to hear? Look, whoever you're working with, that pastor you're working with, I know that he would want nothing more than a phone call from you, that he would welcome you back with open arms. I know it. I know it. Sometimes, you know, we have to go beyond decorum to offer hospitality, to offer a way, a new start for someone, to offer words of assurance and forgiveness. And we need to do that, people, because that's what Jesus did for us. He went way beyond the bounds of decorum, way beyond the bounds of decorum, even to the cross, to do that for you and for me. Well, that Pharisee, you know, he's sitting there and he's thinking, oh man, you know, this guy, this Jesus, look at this. He can't possibly be a prophet. He could never be a Messiah. What am I thinking? Oh man, this guy's like too much. I want him out of my house, you know. Oh, he's thinking all this stuff. He can't possibly be a Messiah. But then Jesus, Messiah, prophet, holy man, God. Of course, he's reading his thoughts, right? So he says to the Pharisee, he says, Simon, I have something to tell you. And now the Pharisee doesn't know that he's reading his mind, you know, so he just comes up with the first thing that comes into his mind. He says, "Teacher, tell me," which is a really dangerous thing to say to Jesus. If Jesus is ever tapping you on the shoulder and wants to tell you something, you better be sure you want to hear it. Because he's not going to hold back. "Teacher, tell me." So he tells him a story. Story of two men who are forgiven a debt. One is forgiven a debt for 50 denarii, the other for 500. And then he poses the question to the Pharisee. He says, "Simon, which of these two men do you think loved the forgiver of the debt more?" And the Pharisee said, Simon says, "Well, I guess the one who was forgiven more." And Jesus kind of points to the woman who's still expressing her joy, who is still kissing and anointing and weeping upon the feet of her Savior, her Savior. Woman who knows the depth of her sin and knows how very, very much she's been forgiven. Points at her and says, "You, Pharisee Simon, you've judged correctly." And underneath that says, "Hey, maybe you should check yourself out. Maybe you should take that one to heart. And maybe we should too." You know, I wonder. I like to always think about alternate endings to these stories, don't you? I always think, this story, wouldn't it be just awesome if the Pharisee, if Simon, he heard that and he started thinking about it. And I just wonder what it would be like if he kind of started to think about his sin, you know, really think about the sin, the way that he has separated himself from God, the way that maybe he hasn't treated people the way that God wants him to treat other people, maybe in ways that he hasn't loved without limits. If he thought about that sin and he embraced that sin and then he remembered what Jesus said and he kind of just gave it to Jesus. And I wonder what would happen if he had felt that lifting of that shame and that burden off his shoulders. And I wonder if that Pharisee would run out into the street and try to find that forgiven woman. And if maybe they could get together, you know, and hold each other and just kind of go staggering through the streets, just drunk with joy, and then maybe find, you know, do a pogo dance and then just jump into a pool somewhere. Wouldn't that just be great? Hello, yeah? Right. Why not? Why not? Why not? Oh. We serve a God, yeah, who came so far, crossed all the bounds of decorum to save you and me, to let us know we are loved and forgiven. And he asks us to experience that joy and pass it on by loving others without limits. Let's see if we can do that this week, yeah? Let's see if we can do it this week. All right? All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, yeah, we love your word. We love your word. We love what it says. We love that it guides us. Help us, oh God, now to respond to your word. Walk with us this week, oh God. Take the blinders off. Help us see who needs a good word of assurance, who needs a little hospitality, who needs a nudge in a new direction. Help us see that person. And then help us, oh God, by the strength of your Holy Spirit and in your joy, love that person without limits. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.